Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Tonight, let's get our Bibles. We're going to go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 14. The Bible said that when the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. It shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, a mighty man, a mighty valiant man, a man of war and a prudent in manners, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, Send me David thy son which is with the sheep. Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass that when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Praise God. Amen. Going to continue. I think this is probably lesson four, same spirit. Amen. We're going to talk about a different avenue of the church. We've talked about revival. We've talked about, amen, the preacher. We've talked about praying. Amen. We've talked about, you know, saints being on the same page. Amen. Let's get to the platform tonight. Praise the Lord. Some are saying, I'm glad I'm not on the platform. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God's good to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's ask the Lord to strengthen and help us here tonight. God of heaven, Lord Jesus, you're so good to us. I pray that you would help us here tonight. Pray, God, that you would enlighten us and help us to see things even as you desire it to be. Pray, God, that the kingdom would be edified. Lord, that you would be glorified. The devil would be terrified. God, by the revelation, Lord Jesus, that would come forth from your word here tonight. I pray that you would help us today. We will be quick to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. In the lovely name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. We have talked about being in one accord. One accord does not simply mean to be that we are in agreement, in one agreement together. We discussed that there was another Greek word that was used that would similar, but would be used to say that they were in agreement. But on Acts chapter number 2, the Bible says that when they were in the upper room, and the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with one accord and in one place. So one accord, it means more than just agreement, and it means more than just coming together. Amen. Praise God. And we have discussed all of that, amen, a couple of different times. But tonight I want to go a step further, and I want to talk. I'm going to preach to everybody. I'm going to address some specific people, first of all, amen, concerning this principle that we are talking about here tonight, amen. The Bible begins to talk about in the book of 1 Samuel in our text today that we know that the favor of God had departed from Saul. And in the process of departing from Saul, it left him vulnerable. It left him open to be tormented by an evil spirit. Praise God. The Bible says that the evil spirit was from God. Amen. Reality and translation, looking into it, would just simply be that because that God had removed his hand, it allowed evil spirits to come. And so they said that it was from God. Amen. I do believe that it was sent from God. But the fact of the matter is that God did not resist or did not protect or hold or keep the spirit away from Saul. Amen. Praise God. And so being tormented, obviously his servants saw this. And who knows, they may have been a recipient of some of the anger or the torment that Saul had. And so somebody piped up and just said unto Saul, you know, why don't we find ourselves a cunning player on a harp and let him come and let him play. And when he begins to play, then the evil spirit from God that is upon you separate, will leave, will vanish away, will go away, and you will be well. And Saul said, you know what, let's try it. And so somebody said, well, I know a good man, and he's a valiant man. It's a young man by the name of David. He's one of Jesse's sons, and he's a keeper of the sheep, and he plays that harp out there in the field and keeps the sheep at peace and comfort, and they know that he's close by. And so Saul said, well, let's send for David. And so the letter went forth to Jesse, and Jesse would get some bread and stuff and send it by David to Saul, and David was there to be beckoned at whomever's request that he would come and play when the evil spirit come. And the evil spirit did come. And when it came, they said, David, come. And David came before the king and would sit down and begin to play that harp. And as soon as he would begin to play that harp, the Bible teaches us that spirit would leave Saul. And this caused Saul, the Bible says, to love David greatly. And he said, became his armor bearer. And so he sent to Jesse saying, let David just stay with me, for he hath found favor in my sight. And it came to pass that whenever the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took his harp and he played it with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. I mean, we would know later on that it would happen again and again, even after that David had killed Goliath, and evil spirit was upon Saul, and David would come and begin to play, and it would aggravate Saul so much that, number one, the favor of God was upon David, but just that turmoil inside of Saul's spirit. He would pick up his javelin and throw it at David, and David would flee from him. But David played multiple times, many, many times in the presence of Saul to cause the evil spirit to flee from him. Amen. We can take from this setting and this scripture, the text here, and we can say by what is written before us, nobody jump off the boat here. Just let me preach for a little while here today. Amen. But the Bible does not infer that any words were said. David just got in the presence of Saul and just played that harp. He didn't sing a song. He didn't sing a slow song. He didn't sing a fast song. He didn't sing any song whatsoever at all. No words are mentioned. But the spiritual effect came from the music itself. And the effect was directly spiritual. The effect was directly spiritual. I want every musician to mark my words tonight. You're not just up here playing music. There is something that is going on in the heavenlies. Amen. And you need to take it. And I know that there are several places and maybe people that are afraid of this word, but you need to take it as a personal ministry. You're not up here playing just simply because you can. You're not up here playing simply because you have the talent to do so. Amen. There is a higher agenda. If you just want to play so that somebody can hear your talent, go join the band. Amen. If you want to play so that somebody can hear your talent, amen, there's other places. But here there is a spiritual thing. There is something spiritual that is happening every time we get up here to play music. You don't know, every musician, I want you to listen to me tonight. You don't know what people have faced before they come in these doors. You don't know what the saints of God have faced before they come in these doors. You don't know what the visitors face when they come through the doors. And to be able to hear music that is orchestrated correctly, And everything is right and in its perspective place. And some people can get mad at Sister Cowan and saying, nah, she's just picking on little things. She's just being trivial. She's just being this. Amen. This is a ministry that God hath given unto the musicians. Amen. Praise God. And it is important. Amen. If we want to push here or stop here or whatever and stuff, it's important that we're all on the same page, because if we're not all on the same page, and I understand that we mess up, but if we're not all on the same page, guess who figures all of that out besides us? Everybody else. Amen. Everybody else looks around and says, wow, the drummer was off, or wow, the bass guitar player was off. It's like, they just say, well, that's normal. Praise God. Amen. I can say this without anybody getting offended. Amen. We could just simply say it like this. This, amen, we ain't up here tooting our own horn. Amen. There's no horns up here. Praise God. I guess I could bring my trumpet and we could have a horn. Praise God. It's not show-off time. It's not my, praise God. My band, I was in band for several years in high school, or way before high school, and I was in band several years, and my band teacher taught us, said, you know, we all got to work together. You know, and if you're one of those brass instruments and stuff like that, you're thinking to yourself, what do I need the clarinet for? Sorry, Henry. Oh, okay. All right. What do we need the flute for? What do we need? We had an oboe in our band. And if you've never heard an oboe, amen, it has a very, very peculiar sound. And you think to yourself, you know, that's the last thing that we need in our band. But when everybody is playing together, in harmony one with another, and this is what we would call that we're not this good, and even as a high school band, but we would become a symphony. And you hear those New York symphonies when they play, and it is majestic. There's not one certain thing that's just grating on your nerves, because everybody is blending together and everybody has their place and their part. My band director, he said, if you can't hear your neighbor, then you're too loud. Tone it down. And so we listened. And then we learn that if you can't hear the other parts, you're too loud. And so you think, well, they need to get louder. But if they're playing what's written on the music, then they're right and I'm wrong. If the music, and all the musicians will understand this, but if the music says PP and I'm playing FF, I'm wrong. If the music, amen, has a decrescendo and I'm just one level only, I'm wrong. Music is right. The band director would stop us and he would look back there and he'd say, "Trumpets, you need to get on the same page with all of us." You say, "Trumpets, would you look at measure 64? Would you tell me what that sign is under that measure? Somebody tell me." "It's a decrescendo." "Then why in the world aren't you doing that?" Didn't think it was necessary. Band director would take the music and, "I don't see any of your names on this that wrote it." You know what that means? That means that my opinion isn't necessary. The writer wanted a certain sound. And we would go to competition and we would play in these things that was called sight reading. And when you would walk into that hall and you would sit down in your place, you would either have a folder or you would have music that was turned upside down or backwards or in that folder. And the judge would walk out and he would tell the band director, he said, "Would you please look at the music?" And the band director would look at the music and the judge would say, "Have you ever played this before?" And if he said yes, then they would take up all the music, would go put it away, and they would bring something else out. And he'd say, "No, we haven't played this before." And he said, "Okay, you're on the clock starting now." Band director would tell us to begin to look at our music. We would look at our music and he would allow us to study it for X number of minutes. And he would be reading over it and studying it. And we would get together and we would point out specific things. We would point out important parts and such. And we would point out, you know, the different rest. We would point out the crescendos or the decrescendos or how that we were supposed to play soft, loud, medium, or whatever. It's all there. It's all there. You just have to understand it. And if you understand it, you can play it. And then the director would begin to say, "All right, listen up." And he would begin to set the beat. And then he would kind of sing through what it was supposed to sound like. And he's reading everybody's parts. And he would stop or point out and say, "Flutes or whomever, you've got an important part right here. And this is what you're playing. When you're playing, this is the accompaniment. And this is this. And this is this." And he would go through the whole thing. Any questions? We'd have questions. And finally, a judge would step up and say, "Time." And then we had to be prepared and ready. And because of our understanding of what was set before us and our ability to read the music and knowing what it meant, we knew what quarter notes meant and 16th notes meant and eighth notes and rest, and we knew what that line was that just had a blank space and had 13 over the top of it. We knew what that meant. And because that everybody knew what it meant, we could play that song for the very first time and do it almost perfectly. Now, it does take a good band director to be able to get it to that place. And there is a lot of practice that happens in part of all of that. But to be sitting there and to be said that your school got a 1 in sight reading and you think to yourself, "We got it. That's what we did. That's what we have practiced for. That's what we came for. That's what we strived for. And it happened. It happened because everybody was on the same page, the same place, had the same mind, the same concept, had the same agenda, and all of our agenda was, we want to win. We want to be the best. We want to win. And everybody, we weren't just there. And we weren't just there with our instruments. We were there with purpose and agenda, and we understood what was being asked of us, and we understood what was being put before us, and we did it, and we achieved. The same is in the house of God, different place, different setting, different manner, and different way. But it is a place that we come to with a purpose, with an agenda, being able to understand in the spirit what's going on. I've been in places where the drums were so loud that I had a headache before I ever took the pulpit to preach. I thought to myself, my God, how am I ever going to preach? I've got such a headache. And thought to myself, I didn't even know what words, I didn't even know what songs were being sang because everything was so loud. Praise the Lord. And I know that we do things loud. But I'll promise you one thing real quick. We ain't near as loud as a lot of people are. Not even close. But it comes to the place that everything works together. And this is even where the sound man has got to be in sync. With all of technology going on the way that it is, and if somebody is too loud or if everything's right and the sound man just, amen, thinks, you know what, I want to hear more of this. And he just jacks it up to where it's just totally offensive to everybody else. You know what? He's broken the unity of it all. And if everything is going on, but you can't hear us, let's just say that you can't hear the lead sing. And nobody's singing, and the pastor's up there upset, and he's got steam coming out of his ears because nobody's singing. But everybody's thinking, I don't know what they're singing. I can't hear anything. But you see what I'm saying is everybody is working together. It's not my time to shine. This ain't my show. This is all of us working in perfect harmony to make it happen. To make what happen? God ordained and created music even to have its own ministry. That people that would come in that are upset by things of the world, evil spirits are just upset, and they come in and all of a sudden everything's hitting on the right note and everything's in perfect harmony. Amen. And there is something that breaks. Evil spirits can be driven away with no words, just simply music. Understand with me tonight that God knows what should happen. God knows who's coming. God knows what they're going through. God knows what they have gone through. And God's moving upon the music director or whoever's putting the songs together and saying, I want to sing Amazing Grace. Or Amazing Grace would be a great song to sing tonight. And the music director thinks tonight's Sunday night. That doesn't happen on a Sunday night. I want to sing, want to dance, dance, dance all night. And somebody comes in, and the Lord had moved, and finally music director would say, you know what, I just feel like we're going to sing Amazing Grace. And everybody may look and say, on a Sunday night, I just feel that that's right. And all of a sudden Amazing Grace starts being sung. And Lord have mercy, something breaks in a person. And they came on that Sunday night, and they're wound tight, and tension is there. And they've been fighting hell. And then all of a sudden, that soothing music is there. and it just melts the outer core, melts and breaks down all the partitions set up between. Tears begin to flow because music ministers. And the exact opposite is true. That when there, you know, somebody wants to sing, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus," there's nothing wrong with that song. But if the Lord is moving and saying, "That ain't the right song for the right time. I want you to sing, 'He Set Me Free.'" When we sing it, things begin to break. We have to be able to trust in God. We have to be able to trust in what He's doing. And we have to be connected. This is why it is important to pray and to seek God. It's important for the musicians to pray and to say, "God, I need you to help me tonight. I don't want to create confusion. I don't want to be, amen, the cog in the broken spoke in the wheel. I don't want to be the problem of why that somebody..." I've seen people right in the middle of music service, song service. I've seen people run to the altar and hit the altars weeping and crying and pray through. I've seen service going 1,000 miles an hour and people running and shouting and hucking and bucking and all of that other stuff and people getting the Holy Ghost all over the place because something is happening in that musical part of the service. Amen. But let's not take it for granted. The Bible said, "Out of the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every word be established." There was a man by the name of Elisha. You know him. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he just happened to be around. King Jehoshaphat was there. And they were in a world of hurt, surrounded by the enemy and knowing that things were going to get nasty and bad, and they were looking to lose the battle. There in 2 Kings 3, if you want to mark it there somewhere, but somebody came to Elisha and said, "Oh, Elisha, would you find the mind of God and give it to us? We need to hear from God." And Elisha said, "If it wasn't the fact that I had so much respect and love for Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't even answer you. But since I happen to like the king," he said, "bring me a musician." And they did. They brought him a musician. And the musician began to play. He didn't begin to sing. He began to play. And as he played, Elisha began to meditate. It created an atmosphere that the Spirit of God began to move. As the Spirit of God began to move, Elisha began to prophesy. Elisha said, "I'm going to tell you what you need to do. You need to fill this valley full of ditches." But they had to create an atmosphere so that they could be able to hear from God. Elisha, the man of God, the prophet, in order to hear from God, he said, I need a musician. So what was his problem? I don't know. I don't know if he had a problem, other than he needed a musician. But you don't know what he had been through that day. You don't know what's been going on. You don't know all that other stuff. He just simply said, "I need a musician." Why? Because God used music, amen, to implement a move of his Spirit in the place. And when the Spirit got to moving, Elisha was able to hear from God. You hear that, musicians? When the music was right, they were able to hear from God. When the music is out of order, when the music is too wild, when the music is something that it's not supposed to be, it's more of a disturbance, creating confusion, than it is creating an atmosphere that God can move in. Praise the Lord. I've heard people say things like this. "Well, I'm going to tell you what, Bless God. We need to stay in the songbook. We need to sing the old songs. What did you sing when the songbook songs were new? Did you have any songs? When the songbook songs were brand spanking new, before Amazing Grace ever came out, before somebody ever wrote, He Set Me Free, or There's Power in the Blood. What did you sing? Did you sing the old songs? Why'd you change to the new songs? I personally don't care. Let me back up and rephrase that. I love the songbook songs, and I don't ever want to get away from the songbook songs. Somebody said, well, there's meaning in those songbook songs. There's meaning in some of the new songs, too. It's just a mentality. It's just a mentality. It's something, it's a way that we were raised. You know, when I grew up in church, I'll tell you exactly what happened. We were going to sing three or four songbook songs, and that was about it. And that's why I could tell you about, I could tell you the page of almost every single song in the songbook. That's the way I was raised. That's all we sang. So when Rans has passed, Brother Riley would turn around and he'd say, what song, what page is that song on? Page 174. How did you know that? I cut my teeth on a songbook. I'm not against the song, but what I want to know is, does it create the atmosphere? Is it, does it play a part of helping to create the atmosphere? Somebody says, well, it doesn't do anything for me. You know what? I've been there before. I've been there. And you know, if we would just listen to the songs a lot of times and allow our defenses to come down, and it's not even necessarily good defenses, it's just a biased defense, songbook songs. I'm not being disrespectful, because you're looking at an individual that was extremely pro-songbook songs, and I am still very pro-songbook songs. But here's the philosophy, and here's the way that I see it and the way that I look at it. If we can't worship God to it, I don't want it in the house of God. And there's a lot of songs that they can play on the radio that don't belong in the house of God. Say, well, what are they singing? What is so wrong about them? You can't worship to them. That's the bottom line. And if you can't worship to them, what are we doing? It's called entertainment if it's not worship. And so, everything has to work together. And so the musicians have got to have the mind of God almost as much as the preacher's got to have the mind of God. Musicians have got to have the mind of God almost as, or more, you know, than the saints of God have got to have the mind of. But you understand, if we want an Acts 2:4, an Acts 2:40 experience, then we all have to come in one accord. Amen. It's not just the preacher. It's not just the prayers. It's not just the musicians. It's not just the singers. It's the worshipers too. Everybody's got, the Bible said they were all with one accord in one place. Everybody was working. You can be the broken spoke in the wheel by just sitting there with your arms folded or in your pocket while everybody else is worshiping. You say, well, how can I be that? Because that visitor that is sitting five rows behind you, that's all they can see. That's all they see. Our church is singing, everybody will be happy. You're sitting there, slouched with your hands in your pocket. Visitors saying, well, they don't look too happy. You're creating a hindrance. Everybody working on the same page. It's got to be decent and in order. Praise God. And I know two wrongs don't make a right. There have been some times that I've wanted to stop a song and say, stop! And there's a real specific reason that I don't. And it's probably not what you think. But there's times that I want to just look at the song and just say, stop! Let's slow this down so we can even say it. You know, one of the songs, Let Us Have a Little Talk with Jesus. You sound like you're speaking in tongues about the whole time. Amen. When somebody's got it going too fast. I may have doubts and fears. My eyes be filled with tears. But Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. I go to him in prayer. He knows my every care. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Somebody thought we were saying chocolate Jesus. Now let us have a little chocolate Jesus. Praise God. But you understand somebody that doesn't know the words. And you may have them up on the board, but I can't even read that fast. It's all working together. It's all working together. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter number 25. I believe it's verse number 1. David said, we need the Spirit of God to move around here. I didn't bring my glasses, so I'm going to have to turn around and read this one. Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service the sons of Asaph, Herman, or Heman, and Jeduthun, and who should prophesy with harps and psalteries and with cymbals, the number of the workmen according to their service. They were prophesying with harps and cymbals, psalteries. I don't recall the verse. But it's before 1 Chronicles 25. I'm gonna say I don't know. It's in 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles probably 15 or 16, somewhere in there. David would appoint those that would prophesy. And he appointed those, and he said, and it's very, very similar to the same verse, but he said, these are supposed to prophesy with harps, with the psaltery, and with all kinds of different instruments. And then he said, and Asaph, now this is going to really, really get you good. Asaph was supposed to prophesy with cymbals. That's all he was doing, just prophesying with cymbals. That's it. He said, those cymbals are too loud. That's all Asaph was doing. Crash, 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 crash. But you know what? That's what the Bible tells us. It said, praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Praise him upon the what? The loud. I said, why they gotta be so loud? Because God said so. He said, praise him upon the loud sounding cymbals. But it still needs to be done in decency and in order. But I'm trying to emphasize a point here. Amen. That musicians, you have a ministry. Amen. That you play and you come in perfect harmony together. Amen. As symphonic, in a symphony. And we've already used that word before. Amen. You go to Matthew chapter number 18, verse 19 and 20. And you will see it like this. That Jesus would say, if two of you would agree. And that word agree in the Greek is the same word that we get our English word symphony
from. Amen. In other words, we come into harmony together. Amen. When you enter into the church house, you need to be trying to come into harmony with the Spirit. I'm not just, amen, here with you, but we are here together trying to get into perfect harmony. Trumpets not too loud. Amen. The French horn and the trombones not too loud. Drums aren't too loud. But we're still making a loud noise unto the Lord. And it's beautiful and it's perfect. And it's creating an atmosphere. There's something that goes beyond what I can't see. But yet it's what I can feel. I feel goosebumps on top of goosebumps. I feel, amen, the Spirit moving in the place because everybody is in harmony. You don't have a one-man band. Don't have one body beating the band to show off. Amen, and all of that. But they've all spent time in prayer and they've honed their minds to the working of the Spirit. Amen, and they're there for a purpose and a desire to be used of God to minister. And somebody like Saul comes in with an evil spirit, but the worship and the music comes and it breaks down the hedge and the evil spirit departs and somebody gets the Holy Ghost. The music gets to moving and the Spirit rolls and the preacher, amen, could hear from God and prophesy and things that were not would become so. A word of wisdom comes. A word of knowledge comes and things happen all because we're prophesying with harps and cymbals and psalteries and organs and stringed instruments and all kinds of things that God hath ordained.
God said it's all part of it. It's all part of it. And the Lord says, I've already got this designed. And if you can get up in the right frame of mind and plug into the right spot, it's powerful. It's powerful. Singers are saying, man, I'm glad that he didn't get on us tonight. It's your turn. What would happen if the music started playing about worshiping the King and the singers started singing Amazing Grace? They're both good songs. But now we've got confusion. Singer's like, well, I don't like that song and I wanted to sing my song. That's not right. What if we started to sing Amazing Grace and all the musicians are playing an E flat? And somebody thinks that G's for Jesus. And they decide they're going to sing in G. And you got somebody singing in G and somebody playing an E flat. Kind of like me this morning. They said modulate. I did. I went up a half a step. They went up a whole step. I figured it out halfway through the course. Creates confusion. And then you got people that's like, Lord said, make a joyful noise. That's a noise, but there ain't nothing joyful about it. We're never going to be off key? No, we're probably going to be off key. If we were never off key, we'd probably be on Broadway. But since we're not, well, what would happen if somebody said, well, let's sing He Set Me Free, And so everybody starts singing. Once like a bird in prison I dwelt. The singer said, once like a bird in prison I dwelt. Same song, wrong tempo. Same song, wrong key. You know, musicians and singers, if we're practicing, that's one thing. But pardon the vernacular, if the show's on the road, we got to adapt quickly and make it happen right. Don't let me hear all of this. Well, I was right and they were wrong. No. It's quickly adapt and make it sound right. Making it sound right so that it's creating a good atmosphere. Something going on in the supernatural. Something going on in the spiritual world that I can affect positively or negatively. Oh, we want the preacher to be dead on the money. But singers, No. And it's even to the place like it's, we need to give it more than our best. Well, how do you give more than your best? You practice to get better. And when you get better, your best becomes more best. But you understand what I'm saying. Church service is not just about the preacher. Church service isn't just about the music. Church service isn't just about the singers. The church service also includes the worshipers. Because I'm just telling you as a musician, if we're playing our heart out and everybody's sitting here like this, I just be honest, I don't want to play. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth unto all generations. Friend, that includes everybody. Praise ye the Lord. And the first of it includes the worshipers. Praise him in his sanctuary. And the last of it includes the worshipers. Let everything that hath breath. If you're dead, I'll give you a pass. But otherwise, God didn't send you to be the grand critiquing judge. God sent you to involve yourself in worship. Amen. You know what? As the pastor, I'm even careful about being the grand critiquing judge. It is my job and my responsibility to make sure that everything goes together and everything works together in perfect order. But it's hard to be critiquing when you're worshiping. Praise God. When your eyes are closed and your hands are raised, your eyes are closed and you're clapping and you're worshiping, it's hard to be critical about some things. But yet we all have a responsibility to plug into that vein of worship. Well, I'm not the demonstrative worshiping type. Then you're out of order. That's Bible. The Bible talks about praising his name in the dance, clapping your hands. singing aloud. And forgive me, but it even says sing a new song. Praise God, that just came to me. But that's the truth. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud. Let them sing a new song. I'm going to write some of my preacher friends and tell them that. You big stick in the mud. Bible says sing a new song. But you see what I'm saying is there's something, there's a place for everybody. So, well, I don't play music. I don't do that. There's a place for everybody. And understand that you're going to positively affect the spirit or negatively affect the spirit. You say, well, since I'm negatively affecting the spirit, I'm just not going to come. You're not going to be saved. I want to be saved. And friend, when we get to heaven, you think that we shout down here. You think that we get wild down here. Friend, when you make it to heaven, and I'm not going to go through all the music that's happening all for all eternity that's listed in the book of Revelations. But there's music that's going on in heaven. And there's worship going on in heaven. And there's crowns. We don't even throw things in here. I've thought about throwing some songbooks. But in heaven, they're throwing their crowns at his feet. It's a high time of worship. Praise God. It's when we all come together. And they were all with one accord in one place. Praise God. I'm not going to preach that here tonight. Amen. All right? I'm going to quit. It is important that we're in one place. You need to come to church. Praise God. You know, let me just say it from a pastoral point of view. Everybody that struggles immensely, the number one thing, they're missing church. They're not getting their strength. They're not getting fed. They're trying to stay away from church. They're not getting fed. And then they come, I'm struggling. Well, you're struggling because you don't come to church. So, anyways, it is one place. It is one place. That's the day of Pentecost. It was one place. But it wasn't just one place. It was one accord. And that one accord, they all came together with a purpose. They all came together with a purpose. Let's stand here tonight. Something happened. And when they all got into that heavenly, melodical harmony, the Spirit began to move. And when the Spirit began to move, something began to build. There was a fervency that intensified. And then all of a sudden, there came a rushing mighty wind from heaven. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Yes, we need to pray because there's things that we cannot do that God will do. But we've got to get into that heavenly place. Yes, the preacher has got to preach, but he can't just pick and choose whatever he wants to preach or whatever feels good or whatever is applicable. Preach in the mind of God. Amen. Things happen. Singers, amen. Musicians are playing. Perfect harmony. People are feeling it. Amen. God's making up the difference. Come on, somebody. I said, God's making up the difference. We're not perfect, but God's pushing notes here and there, and God's making it perfect. God's putting it in order. Why? Because we are giving Him our best. And the singers are singing. But they're not on some level that they think that this is their time to shine. Working in harmony. Working in harmony. And if what I do brings attention to me, glorifies me, builds me up, and I need to step back, my horn's too loud. I need to step back and get into harmony with what's happening in the spirit. Because people are depending on it. People are depending on it. Saint of God needs it. Backslider needs it. Visitor needs it. I've heard people say that they go to church every Sunday and made a statement along the lines of, I haven't felt God in years. Well, you need to go to a different church. If I don't feel God every service, something's wrong. I want to feel Him. It doesn't mean that I'm swinging from the chandeliers or the lights or whatever. There's an atmosphere that's conducive. The Holy Ghost to move, the Spirit of God to move. When the Spirit begins to move, things begin to happen. Hardened hearts begin to break, begin to melt in the presence of God. The weak is made strong, the down is lifted up. The out is reached and drawn in. Things are happening. It's not just another song service. It's not just my time to lead the song service. It's not just my time to play the music. It's, oh God, I'm the one feeling that spot, trying to bring it all together. Trying to bring heaven and earth together in this place, this sanctuary, that it fits perfectly, that people are helped and strengthened. That's what it's all about. And when that happens, friend, things that we never imagined begin to happen. People break. Those that we feel, oh, I hope that they make it. I hope that they make it. And the spirit and the atmosphere is right. Something breaks. Things begin to happen. People going through turmoil and trouble and problems and stuff. When everything gets into perfect harmony, all of that just begins to crumble, melt away. Hardness of heart melts away. Bitterness drains away. Because it gets in the presence of God. Heaven comes down. Heaven kisses the earth with its glory. We feel it. It's as close to heaven as we'll ever get in the presence of the Almighty. You say, well, I can feel the presence of God in my car, and I can feel Him in my cubicle, or I can feel Him at my work and stuff like that. It's not the same. It's not the same. This is the house of God, the place that God hath chosen to put His name. Yes, He's with us everywhere. But this is what's designed and called the sanctuary, the safe place that we can gather together where two or three are gathered together. Jesus said, if two of you would agree, get in symphony on any one thing. He said, it shall happen and I will be there. That's how much God wants it to happen. And two or three can agree together and God's there and it's a fight. I just hope that I'm on the right side of the fight. I'm not the one opposing the move of God, opposing the move of the Spirit. I want to work in perfect harmony with God for His purpose. When this begins to happen, things begin to roll. You're going to see people come in, people that you've witnessed to. It's going to happen. It is because of your life. It is because of your witness. But it's also because things in the heaven are beginning to come together. And the church is coming in perfect harmony. And God is sending angels to work on your prayer request. Can I remind you that there was some consistency that happened during all of that time? 7 days of praying. I'm not here to tell you that 7 days of praying is going to fix it, but I am here to tell you that the principle of consistency matters. We come together in one accord. Something begins to happen beyond what my hands can reach, beyond what my eyes can see, beyond where my feet can go. Something's happening because the church is coming together in harmony for a specific purpose. We love him here tonight.